Hey everybody, it's Josh. Welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us. Starting in late July 2020, we are offering both a 9 a.m. outdoor worship service and a 9 a.m. online worship service. You can go to our website to find out more about our two services. You can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day. Well, whether you like them or not, or perhaps whether you watch them or not, there's a phenomenon every Christmas that many people are aware of, and that's the phenomenon of Hallmark Christmas movies. Now, Hallmark Christmas movies might be an odd thing to bring up in July, although if you're watching this on July 26th, yesterday was Christmas in July, as people like to say. But there's something important about Hallmark Christmas movies that I want to draw our attention to, and that is the fact that, they're really the same movie over and over again, the same story over and over again. And for some of you that watch those, you go, yeah, that's great, and that's what I love about them. And for those of us that may not be quite as crazy about them, we go, ugh, that's why we don't watch them. They're the same movie all in all, over and over again. I mean, you know how it goes. There's this person who is oddly attractive, probably, who has a good life and then falls on hard times. And then they tend to move home or they go to some ridiculously named place like Rudolph, Minnesota, or Christmas, Arizona, you know, and it just so happens that they bump into somebody maybe from their past, but also another seemingly very good-looking person who is, oh, just by the way, happens to be single, and then they hit it off, and it looks like it's going to be happily ever after, and then there's some kind of problem where you're like, oh my goodness, are they going to get together? And then it gets resolved, and then happily ever after happens. And everybody has good, warm feelings about themselves and about love. Now, Hallmark has capitalized on this narrative, this common story. They've capitalized on the hopeless romantic in many of us. I will admit, I fall prey to liking a romantic comedy story here or there. But the reality is that one of the things they've caught attention to, or drawn attention to, rather, is that people tend to really like the same story, and they like to hear the same story and the same rhythms. And these romantic stories that are Hallmark movies aren't really the only romantic stories out there that follow the same kind of pattern. Now, the truth is that Hallmark did not make this up. They just happened to find a recipe for some commercial success with it. And if you have been with us the last couple of weeks, you probably can tell where I'm headed. But there's another story, the story of Ruth, that actually follows a very similar pattern. There is a story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, this one we've been looking at, where it goes through a very similar thing. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is that it helps it to be remarkable. It helps it to be memorable. And when something is remarkable and memorable like that, it sticks with us. And the message of the story tends to stick with us as well. And that message of Ruth, that one of hope and redemption, is one that we need to have stick with us. And so the fact that it's so memorable and follows that same kind of pattern is really helpful. So to catch anybody up who might be joining us for the first time as we explore this story, there's this lady, this girl named Ruth, who has a mother-in-law, and their mother-in-law's name is Naomi. Now, Ruth and Naomi had some tough times. Naomi's husband died, and her two sons died as well. And Ruth just decides that she's going to stick with Naomi. But the problem is they don't live where Naomi is from. And so they're in the land of Moab, and they decide to go back to the land of Judah, specifically to Bethlehem. And if that sounds familiar, it should, because Bethlehem is the place where Jesus was born. And so Ruth and Naomi go back to Bethlehem, and they try to put their lives back together after losing their husband and their father. So they have some problems. Now, for those of you who are tracking with the story, we have a young female who has an upward battle and a specific problem. Sound familiar? Well, anyways, the specific problem that they have is they need some food to eat. And as the story goes along, Naomi tells Ruth, here's what you're going to do, is I have this relative, his name's Boaz, he has a field, and so what I want you to do is to go and collect some of the food that is out there so that we don't starve to death. Now, there was a custom back in ancient Israel where you would not harvest all of the food from your field. You'd leave some on the edges so people who were in need could go and harvest some of the food. And so Ruth goes and she does this, and she does a couple things that makes her stand out and catches this guy's attention. Now, wait a minute. There's a guy. And he happens to be, I would imagine, good looking, and he happens to be, as it were, single. And so we have the emergence of the young woman who is single, just happens to be, and this good-looking guy who just happens to be single. Who knows what's going to happen next? Well, this guy's name is Boaz, and Boaz takes a noticing to Ruth. He's impressed by her. I think he starts to find her attractive, as it were. He actually invites her to enjoy some food with him while she's working with him on this first day, and he gets quite taken with her. And so he gives specific instructions to his workers, because, you know, he's in management. And so, well, hey, you've got this good-looking guy who's in management, quite the material, you know, husband type, who tells his people to make sure that Ruth gets everything she needs. And so Ruth gets what she needs, and she goes home, and she tells Naomi everything. And Naomi starts to pay attention, and she starts to get her own ideas. So the next day, she tells Ruth, or sometime after, she tells Ruth, Ruth, we need to get you a bit of security, which is the ancient Israelite mother-in-law way of saying, we need to get you a husband. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a bath. Now, that wasn't something that they did regularly. They would only do it on important occasions. And she said, I want you to also to perfume yourself. Another thing that they did not do very often at that time either. It was basically her way of saying, honey, it's time for you to go get yourself a man. And the man you're going to go get is that guy Boaz. Now Boaz, honey, is one of our distant relatives, not too close, don't you worry, but is somebody who has an obligation to us to potentially make sure that we're okay. And so here's what I want you to do. I want you to take a bath, I want you to perfume yourself, and then I want you to follow Boaz. And like stalk her much, right? But I want you to follow Boaz and then watch where he lies down after his day's work. And then I want you to go and I want you to present yourself to him. And Ruth says, okay, I can do that. And so she gets herself ready and she follows Boaz and she sees where he lies down. And after a hard day's work where Boaz, you know, sweats just a little bit, where he's glistening and, you know, but not gross, and he has some food and some drink. And he then lies down and he falls asleep. And it says in the text that Ruth then stealthily makes her way in and lies down next to him. And the next thing she does is she uncovers his feet. Now, for us as Americans, when we hear or read this story and we hear that she uncovers his feet, we go, oh, all right, well, that's a little weird, but whatever. But if you were hearing this as an ancient Israelite, you would have been like, oh, no, she didn't, because uncovering someone's feet was basically a way of telling the person, if you'll have me, I'll be your wife. Now, the funny thing in all of this is that Boaz actually sleeps through the whole thing. Now, interestingly, also, the scholars will tell us that this metaphor, perhaps, or literal action, but either way, of uncovering one's feet, well, that may have also been a euphemism for the uncovering of a more intimate part of Boaz's body. Kids, you can ask your parents later what that might mean. But anyways, Ruth sneaks in, lays down next to Boaz, uncovers his feet. He sleeps through the whole thing. Typical man. Well, anyways, he wakes up at midnight and notices, finally, that there's a woman lying next to him. And he says to her in typical man fashion, "Who are you?" He doesn't even know. And she says, I am Ruth, the Moabite, and I have uncovered your feet. And he says, Ruth, you can stay, which is all the biblical shorthand way of saying, all right, I'm in. If there is a way, I will be your husband. And they go to sleep. Before it gets too bright, he sends her on her way the next day because they didn't want to have people see them because they didn't want them to get the wrong impression. But he sends her home with 6 measures of barley. Basically, a gift and a way to tell Naomi, hey, Naomi, I'm going to take care of you all. And Ruth's plan, or maybe your plan, worked, and I'm in. Now, you would hope that it's just happily ever after this, but the reality is that there has to be a problem, right, at this point where it might not happen. And just like in the Hallmark movie at this point, well, there's a problem here in the text too. Apparently, Boaz figures out that there's another relative who has more of a direct claim on the potential to be Ruth's husband. And so he does a little trickery, has a meeting with this guy, and we actually never find out what his name is. And he says, hey, you know, Naomi is selling a field, and you have the right of first refusal to buy this field. Do you want to buy it? And he says to him, sure, I'll buy that field. I'd love to buy it. And he said, great, great. But by the way, there's one more thing that goes with this, which is, oh, you get another wife. It's Ruth, the Moabite. And this guy stops. And he says to himself, well, I can't do that. It says in the text, he goes, it'll ruin my inheritance. Now, maybe it was just a circumstance where he didn't want another wife. Or maybe it was because Ruth was a Moabite. And the Moabites were those other people that, you know, good people didn't associate with. But either way, he says, the deal is off, and he says, Boaz, if you want to buy that field and take on Ruth as your wife, you are more than welcome to. And so the crisis has been averted, and true love prevails. End of scene, cuts to the next one, if this were a movie, and you would see a marriage ceremony where Ruth and Boaz are getting married, and Naomi is there, and she's smiling, and she's happy, and everybody lives happily ever after. And then there may be even another scene yet to follow because, you know, happily ever after doesn't mean just marriage. It means the baby in the baby carriage. And the next scene might have shown Ruth giving birth to their son, Obed. Great name, right? And it truly was happily ever after. Now, in true Hallmark or biblical fashion, depending on which one you're tracking with here, that wasn't the end of the story. At the very end in the text of Ruth, we find out that Ruth and Boaz, their son Obed, would go on to have his own family, and he would have a son named Jesse. And Jesse would have a son. Actually, he'd have 6 or 7 sons, and the youngest of those would be a boy named David, the one who would become King David. And so truly, this whole story of Ruth, from the beginning to end, is really one beautiful love story meant to remind us of so many wonderful things. It has a rhythm that sounds familiar, and it has a story that is easy to remember as well once we hear it. But that's part of the point. That's part of the way that this whole thing was put together. It was written to be easy to remember. It was written to have these sort of plot devices that would help you remember. That's why they perhaps would tell it every year. As I mentioned last week, it was a story that was heard every year during the harvest season. They would gather for the celebration of Pentecost, which was one of the celebrations to follow the Passover celebration. And they would hear the story of Ruth, and you know what they'd be reminded of? They'd be reminded of God's hope. They'd be reminded of God's love. They'd be reminded of God's redemption. Because this isn't just a love story, especially to that original audience. It's actually a parable or a fable or a story that's just meant to remind us of God's love. Because so often we probably want to see ourselves as Ruth, or maybe even if we're a little self-aggrandizing, we might want to see ourselves as Boaz. But the reality is when you read that story, when you hear that story, we are actually all Naomi, needing to be reminded that God's love will never fail us, needing to be reminded that God's love never stops. And when we hear the story of Ruth, we're reminded of it. We're reminded that God's love never stops and God's love never fails us. And that story is one that they needed to hear in that time, and it's one that we need to hear in our time as well. So while I think this is just a beautiful story from beginning to end and one worth knowing, and we're better for just knowing it, I also think that it's a very important story for us to have in our memories at this time. Because it reminds us, It reminds us that God's love is here for us. In these complicated and complex and convoluted times that we live in, we need to be reminded of God's love. Because we are normal human beings who are prone to forget sometimes that God loves us. We're actually prone to forget specifically that God loves each one of us. We're quick to remember that God loves somebody else, but we sometimes forget that God loves us. We look at the lives that we have and the world around us, and we go, God must not be there. God must have abandoned us. God must have forgotten us. That's where Naomi was in all of this. But the truth is, this story reminds us that God's love never stops. God's love never quits. God's love never fails us. Just like God's love didn't fail Ruth and it didn't fail Naomi, God's love does not fail us. So let us remember. Let us allow this story to remind us of God's good love for us, that it never fails and it never quits. Amen. Well, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms. And again, we hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.